Departure with a Belly. Chapter 421. When Victoria heard the soft sounds, her eyelashes twitched. The bright light almost prevented her from opening her eyes. It took her a while to adjust to the current brightness and open her eyes. As soon as she did, she saw Nathan and Nicole standing not far away. Seeing them, Victoria thought her eyes were playing tricks on her, but she was still taken aback and sat up suddenly. As she sat up, the two little ones approached and greeted her. "Mommy, you're awake." Nicole's voice was loud, and it woke up Alaric, who was still half asleep. When Nicole saw that he was awake, she also cheerfully called out to him. "Mr. Knight." She happily walked over, grabbed the corner of his clothes, and asked, "Mr. Knight, you slept together with Mommy. Does that mean you're my daddy now?" Although the little girl was young, she was sharp, witty. She had never seen her mother and Bane sleeping together like this before. Not to mention sleeping together, there wasn't even a hint of intimacy between them. One shouldn't be fooled by children's young age, sometimes they understood certain things most clearly. Alaric was caught off guard by Nicole's sudden question. He remained still for a moment before murmuring, "Daddy, huh?" He looked at Victoria, who was sitting on the couch, then lightly pressed his hand on Nicole's head. "Whether I can be your daddy or not depends on your mommy's opinion." "Mommy?" The little girl looked at Victoria. "Yes." Alaric nodded. "If your mommy agrees to me being your daddy, then I'll be your daddy. If she doesn't agree, then I will have to try harder to make your mommy accept me first." After hearing this, Nicole immediately climbed onto the couch and into Victoria's embrace. "So, Mommy, do you accept Mr. Knight?" Victoria was speechless. Before she could speak, Nicole murmured, "Mommy, you must have accepted him, or else you wouldn't have let him sleep with you." Victoria felt dumbfounded at her words. It seemed that there was a big misunderstanding. Victoria felt embarrassed and rubbed her forehead. Although she had started to accept Alaric in her heart, she still had some reservations when it came to the matter of the children. After all, she had truly suffered in the past. Although some of it stemmed from her own misunderstanding, if he had clarified his feelings earlier, how could there have been so many misunderstandings between them? Her silence made the atmosphere awkward. Nicole was still staring at her and waiting for her answer. At the same time, Alaric was wearing a confident smile as if he was sure that she would agree. To his surprise, she fell silent. Noveldrama.org holds copyright this. Alaric himself slowly appeared to understand the reason for her silence. The delight in his eyes slowly faded, but he remained calm without becoming angry and simply said, "It's okay, this isn't urgent. Let's discuss it later." Without waiting for Victoria to speak, he intervened in their conversation. He then gently patted Nicole's head and whispered, "Nikki, give your mommy some more time, and give me a chance to prove myself, okay?" Victoria looked at him calmly uttering these words, and it didn't sit well with her. Given the circumstances, she was surprised that he could still compose himself and say such things. She wondered what he was feeling at that moment. Nicole also sensed that something was amiss and stopped talking. After a moment, Nathan came forward, took her hand, and brought her to the side. Victoria was silent for a moment before she said, "I'll go freshen up. How is your injury?" "It's much better now. I applied medication and took the pills last night." "Did you forget?" Alaric replied. Hearing his words, Victoria glanced at him and noticed that his complexion looked much better than last night. The medication seemed to be effective. Somewhat relieved, she got up to freshen up. As she walked away, the two kids quickly followed her. When they reached a spot where Alaric couldn't see them, Nicole asked, "Mommy, why didn't you agree?" Victoria let out a sigh and said, "It's not the right time yet." "Not the right time? When will it be?" Nicole began, but Nathan interrupted her. "Nicole. he softly advised, "Stop asking. Mommy will tell us when she agrees in the future." Hearing her brother's words, Nicole obediently nodded and said, "Okay then." The three of them entered the bathroom together, and once inside, Victoria noticed that even the children's toothbrushes were prepared. There were blue and pink ones, along with matching children's cups. With just a glance, Victoria felt instantly soothed by the sight. Children's items were always cuter than imagined. She didn't know if they were prepared in advance or delivered late last night. Victoria squeezed toothpaste onto both brushes and said, "Brush your teeth quickly, and after that, we'll have breakfast." "Thank you, Mommy," they both replied. When Alaric approached, he witnessed the scene of the three of them standing together by the sink perfectly aligned. It was a heartwarming sight. Instinctively, he paused and stood there, savoring the moment. In the end, Alaric couldn't resist taking out his phone, opening the camera, and capturing this scene. The shot was perfectly backlit and could easily serve as phone wallpaper. Alaric stood there, reluctant to leave. After relishing the moment for a while, he promptly changed his phone wallpaper to that photo. At the same time, he also set it as his phone's screensaver. Afterward, he stood in place, locking and unlocking his phone. He found himself increasingly fond of the image. Remaining still, he reminisced for a while. Just as Victoria and the two kids finished brushing their teeth, they turned around and happened to catch him staring at his phone. With an expression that seems somewhat infatuated. Infatuated? This word left Victoria baffled for a moment, but she quickly became interested in what he was looking at. What could make him look so infatuated? With that thought in mind, Victoria walked up to him and asked, "What are you looking at?" However, as Alaric noticed her approach, he quickly pocketed his phone. Victoria didn't even have a chance to see what was on his phone before he put it away. "What's so secretive that I can't see?" she asked. When Alaric heard this, his lips curled up, and he smiled mischievously at her. "What? Are you interested in what I'm looking at?" Teased by him like that, Victoria averted her gaze and said, "Not really." Victoria didn't intend to inquire further in order to not appear interested in his matters. She went back to tell the two kids to wash and dry their faces. "All done. Let's go have breakfast." As Alaric approached, Victoria remembered something and asked, "When are we going back home?" After all, the two kids were growing up, and they had to continue their education back home. They couldn't just abandon their studies while staying abroad. Chapter 422. "I've told the men to deal with it," Alaric said. If he told his men to deal with the issue and did not give them any information, then he had to have encountered something bad. It was not surprising. Although he had fought off Bane and saved Victoria, her identification papers were still with Bane. Without any identifying paperwork, it would take some effort for her to get back to Corinthia. That meant she should not even bother to think about heading home. However, it was exceedingly boring to stay in the villa all day long. Not long after breakfast, the doctor arrived to change Alaric's dressings. His wound was serious, so the doctor kept a stricter eye on it. Once the dressings were refreshed, the doctor passed on a few instructions about caring for the wound. The doctor then checked Nicole's injury. Once he was done, Terence walked him out before bringing the two children to their rooms. Meanwhile, Victoria stayed to make sure Alaric took his pills. The bitter yet candy-looking pills were popped into his mouth. His brows immediately furrowed due to how bitter the pills were. Nevertheless, he forced himself to swallow them down since Victoria was staring at him. It was such a bittersweet feeling. Now that he had taken his medication, Victoria felt like she had completed a third of her task for the day. She was still worried about something, but since the person she would be talking to was Alaric, she hesitated. Noticing her hesitancy to speak, he asked, "What's on your mind?" She stared at him for a moment. In the end, She swallowed back the words lingering on the tip of her tongue. "It's nothing," she replied with a shake of her head. He silently stared back, not saying a word. It was clear that she wanted to tell him something, but if she did not want to speak about it now. Well, I can't just force her to speak up. He would wait until she wanted to speak to him. After an entire day of staying holed up, Victoria decided to head downstairs for a brief stroll after lunch. She bumped into Terence as he returned. Seeing him reminded her of the questions she had wanted to ask Alaric previously. Thus, she hurried over to him. "Mr. Levan," she called out. Judging by how fast she was walking to him when he had just returned, Terence could tell she wanted something from him. Thus, he stopped walking. "Is there something you need, Miss Selwyn?"
"Yes.
I have a question." Victoria looked around to make sure there was no one within hearing distance before continuing, "Do you know why Alaric was hurt last night? I mean, who hurt him? What happened to the culprit?" In her mind, she was very subtle and tactful. However, he instantly knew what her actual intent was. "Miss Selwyn, are you asking about Bane Morrison?" She was at a loss for words. After a moment of speechlessness, she asked, "It really was Bane, then?" She could hardly believe it. Why would Bane hurt Alaric this badly? Even if they were now enemies, they used to be friends. How could someone hurt their friend that badly? The entire time, Victoria had assumed Alaric's wounds were caused by those who worked for Bane. She did not think. "Miss Selwyn, who could have hurt him if not Bane? There aren't that many people who could get so close to Mr. Cadogan." She bit her lip and fell silent. Since she was staying with Alaric, she knew that continuing to push for answers would only make Terence dislike her. However, she had never once thought of hurting Bane. Victoria did not mind if others scoffed at her for being a saint, but Bane had been a very special friend who helped out during an important phase of her life. Although she did not continue to ask about Bane, Terence was a perceptive man. It was impossible for him to be ignorant of her hesitance. He sighed. "Miss Selwyn, are you worried about Bane?" "Pardon me, but you don't need to worry about him. No matter how nice he was to you, his recent actions had been inhumane. After all, he dragged you to a new country without even asking for your consent. Do you know what people call that? It's a kidnapping. If Miss Jones had not constantly hammered into our heads that you did not want to report him to the police, he might have already been sentenced to imprisonment for years." She scowled in response. "He's just confused. Once he thinks it through, he would turn over a new leaf," she argued. "Miss Selwyn, if that were possible, he wouldn't have done this. I say he's mentally ill. Unless he's willing to see a doctor about it, he will never get better." "A doctor?" She agreed with that. Bane really needed to be treated for his issues. He specifically needed therapy, if he were willing to go to therapy. Her eyes lit up at that thought. "Mr. Levan, do you think it's impossible?" He swiftly interrupted before she could finish her question. He was smart enough to know what she wanted to say. "Leave him be. He is likely bedridden right now. Even if he is willing to see a doctor, his subordinates would help him look for one. Anyway, therapy isn't the only treatment he needs." Her eyes darkened. "Is that so?" Victoria fell silent once more and did not bother him anymore. "I'll leave you to your work, then. See you around." As he watched her glumly turn away from him, he felt disgusted by his response. She had only wanted to help an old friend out of the kindness of her heart, but he... well, he was only speaking his mind. There was no way he could empathize with her on this. Still, he should not have been so curt with her. In the end, he spoke up to give a tactful twist to his previous words. "How about this, Miss Selwyn? I'll help you keep an eye out and notify you if there's any." Her eyes lit up once more. "Really? That won't be too much work for you. he smiled. "It'll be fine, Miss Selwyn. I will do my best." About 10 minutes later, Terence reported the conversation to Alaric. Alaric scowled hard at the end of the report. "He's worried about Morrison," he spat out. Terence solemnly nodded. "Yes, Mr. Cadogan. Is she not being a little too kind to him? He kidnapped her, so why would she want to help him seek treatment?" Irritation swelled in Alaric upon hearing those questions. Chapter 423. Alaric was injured. While Victoria was worried about him, her worry had felt wonderful to him. It made him ignore his injuries since it all felt worth. However, she was also worried about someone else. That other party was also the man who had dragged her to another country. Without Alaric's nostalgic feelings over their former friendship, Bane would never have gotten to where he was now. "Should we stop holding back, Mr. Cadogan? Otherwise, Miss Selwyn will keep worrying about Bane Morrison," Terence asked. "Hold back. What will we do?" Alaric narrowed his eyes as his voice trembled in anger. Despite the fact that his injury is not significant, she is still overwhelmed with worry for him. "If we kill him, what would she think of me? Anyway, I have a family now. I have to stay true to the law." Terence immediately realized Alaric had misunderstood his words. He sighed. "Mr. Cadogan, you're mistaken. I actually mean to cut off all contact between the two of them, making sure she can never hear any news related to him. That's all. I didn't mean," as his voice drifted into nothing, he reached up and made a strangling motion. Alaric silently stared at him. "This man." Impatience rang in Alaric's voice as he looked away. "Enough. Tell me, why should I get treatment for him anyway? What illness is he suffering from?" "You mean Bane Morrison? Who else?" "Well, I'm not too sure. From what Miss Selwyn said, he seems to be suffering from a psychological disorder." "A psychological?" Alaric squinted in through. "How could it be a psychological disorder? When they were students studying together, Bane acted normal. He did not seem like someone who was suffering from a psychological disorder. That meant if anything changed, it would have happened after he moved to another country. Bane had cut off all contact after flying off. No one knew what happened to him during that time. If Victoria said he was suffering from mental issues, then did it mean something bad had happened during that time? What on earth happened?" He used to be a good friend of Alaric's, and he had taken great care of Victoria in the last 5 years. Jealousy was the most negative emotion Alaric could muster when it came to Bane. "Have the men investigate this. Find out what's going on," he ordered. He wanted to know what psychological disorder Bane had been suffering that could have pushed him to kidnap Victoria. Terence had thought Alaric would have a plan to resolve the situation after letting Alaric know about the conversation. He did not expect to be instructed to dig deeper into the case. What could he even dig up? Even if Terence really found out what was ailing Bane, was Alaric going to help his rival? That was a ludicrous thought. "Mr. Cadogan," Terence hesitated. "Are you serious about this?" Alaric shot him a confused glance. It was an instruction to investigate, so why was Terence asking if Alaric was serious? "What is it?" "In my opinion, even if something did happen to Bane, it is none of our business. More importantly, he nearly hurt Miss Selwyn, and he severely injured you. If not for him, none of this would have happened." "Yes, I know." Alaric nodded. "In that case, are you unable to follow my instructions?" Disorder. Terence was at a loss for words. After all, he had been very blunt with his opinion. If Alaric were capable of being persuaded, he would not have asked Terence to investigate Bane. Why did it matter if Bane was traumatized as a young man? How was it any of their business? Everyone had been traumatized at one time or another. However, Alaric had made up his mind, so Terence could not say anything more. I understand, Mr. Cadogan. Don't worry. I'll dig up every scrap of information on this if that is your wish. Terence soon left, leaving Alaric alone in the room. His lips were so tightly pursed together that they nearly disappeared. Terence's words echoed in his mind. Was Victoria that worried about Bane? Jealousy swelled in him. He could not resist getting to his feet to search for her. Victoria had been thinking about Bane ever since her conversation with Terence. Her children were currently watching cartoons with their phones in their hands. She had a phone as well, given to her by Alaric's men. The night they ran away, they had been in such a hurry that she left her old phone behind. Thus, she had no choice but to use the new phone provided by Alaric, along with the new number. She had to wait until they flew back home before she could get a new SIM card for her old number. As she silently stood there, Summer wandered over to her. Victoria, everything has been wrapped up here, so the devil and I. Mr. Ludson and I will be leaving soon. They had only spent a brief moment together last night, but Summer had to leave already. Victoria was reluctant to see Summer go, and it shone in her eyes as she glanced at Summer. Summer stuck out her tongue in a gesture of disgust before apologizing, "I'm so sorry. I want to stay as well, but Mr. Ludson has spent too much time away from the company. If he doesn't head back soon, the company would descend into chaos. I had been hoping he would leave without me, but he insists that I go back with him." Victoria knowingly smiled upon hearing the explanation. "Did he insist on that, or is it because you want to stay with him?" Summer's eyes went wide in response. "Are you mad, Vic? Why would I want to stay with him? I am only going with him this time because he helped me out this time. I can't be that ungrateful. I also can't just quit. It is somewhat impossible for him to find my replacement that quickly." Victoria understood the actual message, however. She smiled and did not try again to convince Summer to stay. "Okay. Safe travel. Thank you so much for coming all the way here. Once everything is settled, let's get together for a meal." Overwhelmed by sorrow, Summer flung arms around Victoria. "I don't want to leave you, Vic," she sobbed. Victoria's eyes burned with tears as well. She tightened her arms around Summer and buried her face into Summer's neck to hide her hazy vision. "I don't want you to leave either. I'll go looking for you as soon as I'm done with work," Summer said. Copyright 2024 Nov, eldrama.org. Something about the way Summer said that set alarms ringing in Victoria's mind. "You're not going to quit, are you?" When the two women broke off from their hug, Summer looked at Victoria with eyes still shimmering with tears and nodded. "I don't want to work there." Chapter 424. Victoria was stunned. "You're really going to quit? Why?" "It's not because of me, right?" she asked. "It's not," Summer replied, shaking her head and wiping her tears away. She then looked down at the floor. "You only gave me a chance to quit. Most importantly, I don't want to do it anymore." Summer had not spoken of wanting to quit before, so why? Victoria started blaming herself, worried that she was the cause of this. "I'm serious," Summer said. "We've been friends for years. Surely, you know you can believe my words. I've always been complaining about the devil, right? He takes up so much of my time that I can't even go on matchmaking dates. If this goes on, I will never get married. My time with him has been exhausting. I do feel like quitting, so why not end it all once we head back?" She had a long speech prepared because she did not want Victoria to feel guilty about anything. Victoria knew that if she said anything that hinted at feeling guilty, Summer would spiral into another lengthy explanation. Thus, Victoria nodded. "Very well. Since you've made up your mind, I won't say anything more." They were adults. They should understand their own actions and desires. Be it for good or for bad, Everything was fine as long as they could handle the consequences. Thank you, Boo, Summer said, hugging Victoria once more. I just knew you'll support me in everything I do. Just watch me. Once I quit, I'll think of something else today. I plan on being my own boss. I'm fine with being a stall owner. At least, I'll still be my own boss. I'll always have the last word. Okay. Go with what your heart says, Victoria said. The two of them clung to each other and continued chatting for a few more minutes before Summer finally let her go with a look of reluctance on her face. I'm off. See you around. See you. After a pause, Victoria walked after her. Why don't I send you off? Summer would love to accept the offer, but upon recalling the fact that Victoria would be in danger the moment she left the building, Summer nipped the idea in the bud. Forget it. It's not safe for you out there. It's best that you stay where Alaric can protect you. What if Bane's men capture you when you leave to send us off? Summer sighed and continued, it took so much effort for us to get you back. It's true. Alaric also suffered serious injuries just to save me. Victoria thought. In that case. I'll see you to the door, she said. Summer nodded. Okay. When will you be leaving? We're going to the airport now, Summer awkwardly replied. Victoria was at a loss for words. That meant Summer only came to say goodbye just before leaving for the airport. We bought the tickets last night. It was very late by the time I left. If I came back to tell you about it, I would be disturbing your rest. I thought of telling you about it today, but I was so relaxed now that you're safe that I overslept, Summer explained. Victoria did not know if she was meant to cry or laugh at that. Oh, you, she said with a sigh. We had around 20 minutes from the moment I came over to say my farewells. We only have a few minutes now. Why don't we spend the rest of the time hugging? Victoria had no objections to that suggestion. When the two women were getting along, they would spend every single moment by each other's side. Now, they only had about 10 minutes to embrace each other. When Alaric stepped into the room, he found the two women clinging together. Property belongs to Novel, dr/ama.org. If he had not watched them grow up together and witnessed just how close they were, he might have mistaken Summer's tight embrace as a sign that she was trying to steal Victoria from him. As they seemed to be stuck in a fog of sorrow, he silently stood by the doorway and waited instead of disturbing them. 1 minute passed. 2 minutes passed. 5 whole minutes had passed. He raised an eyebrow in near, invisible impatience. Why was their hug taking this long? What if Summer was going to steal Victoria from him? Ahem. The sound of someone clearing their throat snapped the two women out of their thoughts. Finding the voice familiar, Victoria looked up and, just as she suspected, the newcomer was Alaric. He was staring at them. From the way he was standing, it seemed like he had been there for a while now. Summer hurriedly let go of her. Mr. Cadogan, Summer greeted. Alaric grunted in response. He strode over to them. What were you talking about? While Summer was a woman, she somehow sensed that Alaric was jealous of her. Despite her shock, she solemnly replied, nothing much. I'll be leaving soon, so I was saying my goodbyes. It was now Alaric's turn to be shocked. You're leaving. They had just found Victoria last night. Now, Summer was leaving. She nodded. Yes. There is a lot of work waiting for Mr. Ludson and me back at the office, so we have to leave first. Thank goodness, Victoria is safe as well. He did not say anything after that and merely nodded. When is your flight? We'll be leaving right after I finish saying goodbye. It will take some time to get to the airport. As soon as she finished speaking, Eric appeared in the doorway. The two men looked at each other. Eric spoke first. Thank you for taking care of us for the last few days, but we have a lot of work waiting for us. We have to go now. No problem. After a brief handshake, Eric then turned to Victoria and held out his hand. It has been a while, Miss Selwyn. He was as handsome and proper as she remembered. She smiled. Hello, Mr. Ludson. Thank you for coming with Summer. She then reached out to shake his hand. However, Alaric stopped the handshake before it could happen. He grabbed her hand. Your hands are as cold as ice. Why don't you have more layers on? She was at a loss for words. Summer was feeling equally speechless. She glanced down at Alaric's and Victoria's interlocked hands and glanced back up at Eric's outstretched hand. She hurriedly stepped over to grab it. Oh, your hands are very cold as well, Mr. Ludson, she commented. Unfortunately, her social skills were so bad that she could not come up with anything but a burst of awkward laughter to break the tension as she repeated what Alaric said. Eric turned to her and narrowed his eyes as emotions warred within them. His stare made her feel so uneasy that she did not know what to say next. Victoria was overwhelmed by the second-hand embarrassment she felt upon witnessing that interaction. She had not expected Alaric to get jealous over a simple handshake. That was a little too much. At that, she tried to pull her hand out of his grip, but he only tightened his hand around her as though he thought letting her hand go meant she would immediately head on over to shake Eric's hand. Exasperated, she shot him a look and whispered, "Let go." Chapter 425. Alaric pursed his lips as upset simmered on his face. He did not seem to like what Victoria just said to him. She had no choice but to forcefully tug her hand away. His eyes immediately shimmered with distress and pain. That rendered her speechless. As she tried to free her hand from his grip, Eric spoke up. Mr. Cadogan, Miss Selwyn, we have to leave for our flight now. Farewell. He then turned his hand to lock his fingers around Summer's fingers before leading her away. Hey. Summer had not expected to be dragged away so suddenly. When she eventually snapped out of her shock, she called out to Victoria, I'll see you back home. Once I'm done with my tasks, I'll visit you. Victoria waved at her. Okay. See you back home. Alaric and Victoria were the only ones left in the room. After a few minutes of silence, Victoria blurted out, they're gone. When are you going to let go? He looked down at their linked hands and happily smiled. Why let go? Can we only hold hands when others are around? She stared down at their joined hands in silence. Then, she said, it was just a polite handshake. Did you need to do this? Yes. Alaric turned to stare into her eyes. I don't like it when other men touch you. He was not touching me. It was going to be a handshake. You wouldn't call that a touch, she emphatically said. To her surprise, he retorted, that won't do either. Even if you're only shaking his hand, you would still have come in contact with his skin. Victoria silently stared at him. Forget it. She was too exhausted to argue any longer. With eyes trained on her face, Alaric abruptly said, Terence told me you were asking about Bane. She froze. If I had known Terence would tell him about this, I wouldn't have asked about Bane. Gosh. Now, Alaric was questioning her over the conversation. It did not happen that long ago either. Owned by noveldrama.org. I shouldn't have asked him. I didn't think he would tell you so soon. Yes, I asked him about Bane. What about it? Was he going to lecture her about that? Victoria saw him purse his lips. A few moments later, Alaric solemnly asked, "Is your impression of me that bad?" What? For a moment, she did not understand what he was trying to say. Are you saying that I'm not worthy of your trust? Is that why you direct your questions at other people instead of just asking me? She had thought he was interrogating her. To her surprise, his only concern was about trust. He thought that if she did not ask him those questions, it meant she did not trust him. At that, she instinctively opened her mouth to explain herself. It's not like that. I just, perhaps you think I might do something to him, he interrupted. She silently stared at him in response. The lack of a proper answer both vexed and worried him. Speak. What do you want me to say? Alaric frowned. I didn't ask you because I was afraid you would react like this. That's why I asked Terence. Since he is unable to do as I ask, then I decided to put it out of my mind. I would never talk about this to your face. Despite her explanation, he did not feel reassured at all. Is he more important to you than me? Victoria was at a loss for words. If I had kidnapped you instead of him, would you have chosen to stay by his side instead? He asked. The question shocked her to the core. She had never thought it was possible for Alaric to kidnap her. After all, when he bothered her in the past, he merely acted like a reckless fool at times. She never thought he would ever kidnap her. However, she had also not expected Bane to kidnap her out of the blue. Now that Alaric mentioned the possibility, she was snapped out of her dense mindset. She soon calmed down, however. Wait, no. She could not let herself get carried away. That never happened, so the example you used means nothing. Alaric's eyes darkened when he heard her reply. Is it because of the example or because you have no answer for me? Perhaps you're trying to say that your answer will be exactly what I had expected. Victoria pursed her lips. She tried to imagine a world where Alaric had kidnapped her and forced her to live an isolated life with him and their children. No way. She could not accept a life like that, even with him. No matter who it was or how close they were, she was unable to accept a man who committed a crime like that. With that in mind, she blurted out a frank answer, ignoring the possibility that she might hurt his feelings. You're right. If you had kidnapped me, I would not have stayed by your side. There was a gloomy look in his eyes. Similarly, leaving your side doesn't automatically mean I would be by his side. If I am with you, it is because I consented to it. No one could have forced me to do it. She had made her stance as clear as possible. As for what he would think of it, that was up to him. Victoria then turned around and walked out of the room, leaving him alone and frozen in place. Alaric only snapped back to reality several long minutes after her departure. What had he just said on impulse? He frowned as remorse crept through his veins. He had misspoken when he carved into his impulses. She was right. It was her choice who she wanted to be with. No one could force her to do anything. At that thought, he raced after her. Victoria had not walked that far away though, so he soon caught up to her. He grabbed her by the wrist and pulled her into an embrace. I'm sorry. I was too brash just now. Don't be angry at me, please, Alaric pleaded. She shoved at him in response, but as she had accidentally shoved at his injuries, he let out a muffled groan of pain. In her anger, she had forgotten about his wounds. She promptly pulled away and glanced up at his face. Are you okay? Alaric's dark eyes shone down at her. I'm fine. Even if I'm not, I asked for it. I have to suffer the consequences. What I said was wrong. You are free to hit my wounds to vent your anger. He then grabbed her hands and placed them on his wounds. Victoria's face twisted in fright. The minute her skin touched the spot where his injuries were, she pulled her hand out of his grip. Still, the brief touch caused him so much pain that he broke out in a fit of cold sweat. After her hands were free to move as she pleased, she frantically admonished, "Are you mad?" She helped him back to the room they had just left. Then, she unbuttoned his shirt to check on his wounds. Just as she expected, the bandages wrapped around his torso were heavily soaked in bright red blood. The contrast of the blood against the bleached fabric made her heart skip in fear. It was only a few glances down at the stained bandages, yet she could feel her head start to spin. What did it say about the pain he was dealing with? She pulled out her phone to call the doctor, but he snatched it before she could do it. I misspoke, so this is my punishment, he said. Don't call the doctor. Alaric held Victoria's phone far away from her so that she could not get it back that easily. She did not have the guts to fight with him over it either, since she was afraid the exertion would only worsen his injuries and bring him more pain. What punishment? Even if you had said something bad, it has nothing to do with your wounds. Unfortunately, all her pleas fell on deaf ears. He kept ignoring them as though he firmly believed he needed to be punished. Staring at his blank face, she finally said, "Even if it's a punishment, you could be punished in another way." "Other punishments?" He finally looked up at her. "What other punishments do you have in mind?" She solemnly considered her answer before saying, "I have a punishment in mind, but it won't be happening now. We'll wait until you are all healed up." "Will you forgive me after the punishment?" he asked. "We'll see." His words had certainly angered her. His eyes darkened once more, but he did not say anything. "Give me my phone. I'll call the doctor and have him clean and dress your wounds again." After a moment of silence, he returned the phone to her. Deep down, she heaved a sigh of relief when she had her phone back in her hands. Due to his abrupt behavior, she did not even have the chance to walk Summer out. However, Summer had Eric by her side, so Victoria did not need to worry about her. The doctor arrived soon after the call to freshen up Alaric's wound dressings. As the doctor cleaned and dressed the wounds, he asked in a confused voice, "What happened? The wound had closed up last night. Why does it look worse now? What did you do?" Victoria kept quiet. It was Alaric who answered. "I tripped." His calm answer rendered the doctor speechless. "Mr. Cadogan, this wound. You might not die from it, but it's still not something to wave off and laugh at. You have to take good care of the wound. What if something actually happens? You might think your body will be fine, but what if something goes wrong? What will Miss Selwyn do? What about Miss Nicole and Mr. Nathan?" Alaric could not muster up any retort to that. His only response was an agreement to be careful in the future. Every doctor wanted a patient to follow their instructions and behave so that they would recover faster. Hence, the doctor eventually left the place, satisfied with himself after wrangling that promise from Alaric. Once the doctor was gone, Victoria turned to Alaric and calmly said, "No matter what happens in the future, you are not to fool around when it comes to your life. I know. If I die, my children might end up belonging to another man," he said. He had only thought that he could cheer her up by punishing himself. He had not expected to trigger her each time he did so. "You know that, but what does it matter? What if something happens?" He was at a loss for words. "True. What if? What if he actually died? Regret would be useless then. I'm sorry." He did not know what to say except for that. The remorse painted across his face made her hesitate about continuing her lecture. In the end, she said, "Since you're fine, I'll be going now." She had just turned away from him when he grabbed her wrist. "Where are you going?" She paused. "I'm only going on a walk downstairs. Do you hate staying in the same room as I am that much? Does it hurt for you to be with me?" Her brows furrowed. He sounded unusually fragile right now. She had only wanted to go on a stroll, yet he seemed to only want to cling to her side. Every second she spent away from him sounded like it would be a second of him letting his imagination run wild. She had not expected him to ever act this way. She turned to look at him. "That's not it. You are hurt, so you need rest, right?" "Yes," he said, nodding. "I want you to stay with me." She sighed. "Didn't I stay the whole night with you? I could not stay by his side all the time, could I? I have kids to look after. Snowball." He pulled her closer to hoarsely whisper into her ear. "I am ill. I need a long-term companion. She did not struggle, and he pulled her over to sit on his lap while wrapping his arms around her waist. She reflexively shivered. By the time she realized what was happening, she was sitting on his lap while being hugged. He tilted his head down and leaned in to greedily sniff at her neck. The hot bursts of air brushing against her exposed, sensitive neck made her roar back in surprise as though he had lost control. He soon pressed his soft lips against her skin. The sudden wetness pressed against her neck finally made her snap back to her senses. She instinctively reached out to push him away. Don't. This is the property of noveldrama.org. However, she did not aim as well as she wanted and nearly shoved at his wounds once more. Just before her hands touched his chest, she swiftly moved her arms down so that she was shoving against his abdomen instead. While she did not hit his wounds, the place she touched drew an unrestrained moan from his lips. He moaned. Her cheeks were burning bright red as soon as she heard it. Why did you let out that noise? Unfortunately, Alaric did not find his reaction shameful. He pressed his hands against her fiery hands and hoarsely said, "Am I at fault? If you had been more careful with where you at these, I would not have done that." Flustered, she usedly pulled back his less carved in a beautiful smile when he saw a pink flush spreading across her face. "Shy?" he asked. She immediately shoved him away. "I'm going to check on Nathan and Nicole." She had only taken two steps when he called out to her once more. "I will help you do what you wish to be done." Hearing that, she paused. What she wished to be done? She could not resist turning around to look at him. "What do you mean by that? You want to know how Bane is doing, right?" There was a bland look on his face as he calmly continued, "I've launched a thorough investigation into the matter. I'll let you know when I have confirmed information on him." The entire time he spoke, she had been silently watching him, patiently waiting for him to finish speaking. She only spoke after he was done. "You don't need to do that." She wanted to know if Bane was okay, but that did not mean she really wanted Alaric to tell her about Bane. If their roles had been swapped, she would be in agonizing pain if Alaric had asked her for news of Claudia. It was the same logic. "You don't have to worry about that. I'm not doing this solely because of you." He stood up and walked over to her. "The two of us used to be friends. You are right. Perhaps he has only turned into this twisted version of himself because of an experience we do not know about. As an old friend of his, I can choose to look into that." He then held her hands. "I know that he has been the one to take care of you over the last 5 years. If possible, I don't want to leave you disappointed. I'm doing this out of my own free will." Alaric swore to look into Bane's situation for Victoria, including Ethan's injuries. His men worked fast. The next morning, she received the latest update on Bane's condition. He was hurt whereas Ethan had vanished. Vanished. Victoria had a bad feeling when she heard that. Back when she was with Bane, Ethan had vanished for a few days and only reappeared when she asked after him. He had been severely injured back then. She knew he was suffering from multiple injuries, but she did not know the details of those injuries. It was not like she could pull his shirt up to check his wounds. Later on, he let her go and even brought her to freedom. He would be met with no mercy from Bane when he returned. "I wonder how is he doing now?" Bane was also injured. Would that infuriate Bane further? Would he end up venting out his anger on Ethan? "We are not in our home country. What if?" When that possibility popped up in her mind, she instinctively shot to her feet. Alaric grabbed her hand. "Don't panic just yet." His reminder made her pause and bite her lip. He was right. There was no use panicking. What could she even do to help? "What do we do now?" Her only option was to seek his opinion. He pressed his lips together. "He helped you, so that means he helped me. Don't worry. I'll rescue him somehow." Terence forced a smile on his face. Yes, Miss Selwyn. Don't worry. We'll keep finding a way. She glanced at them before nodding. I'll leave him to you. 2 days had passed, yet there was no news of Ethan. He seemed to have vanished into thin air. Victoria lost her appetite due to her worry. For the past 5 years, Ethan was a constant presence by her side. I've been instructed by Mr. Morrison to drive you home, Miss Selwyn. When do you clock off? Mr. Morrison asked me to bring this to you. Let me know when you're free so that I can deliver it to you, Miss Selwyn. Please leave the items to me. I'm here to help. If you refuse to let me carry anything, Mr. Morrison will admonish me. It's raining today, Miss Selwyn. Remember to bring an umbrella with you. It's also a very cold day. Please put on a few more layers. Her memories of Ethan swam before her eyes, making them go red. While he would always say he was doing it because Bain told him to, he had frankly helped her a lot. The last time they saw each other, the help he provided was the greatest ever. If not for him, she would still be locked away. The sight of her red-rimmed eyes made Torrance nervous. He began to panic. Don't be upset, Miss Selwyn. Since he rescued you, he must have been ready for whatever would happen to him. He knew what the consequences would be, so, his voice drifted off. The more he spoke, the worse his words seemed to sound, the air suddenly felt heavy. Alaric was annoyed to see her upset over someone else. The hands hanging down by his sides clenched into fists before eventually relaxing once more. Don't worry. Sometimes, no news is good news. At the very least, it's not bad news, right? Alaric said. Mr. Cadogan is right, Terence promptly agreed. No news is actually the best news. Don't worry. We'll keep up the search and rescue him the moment we find him. We'll do our very best. Despite their fervent attempts to reassure her, her mood did not improve at all. She continued to lean against the window to blankly stare out into the distance. She just did not get it. How did everything change so drastically? Everyone had been going about their days as usual. The situation was now worse than hell. What is it, Mommy? Her children's voices pulled her mind back to the room. She turned around to find the kids staring at her with worried eyes. Nate. Nikki. The two of them immediately darted over to cling to her sides. You've been very sad lately, Mommy. Yes. I am free now. Why am I still so upset? Well, it's likely because I do not have any closure yet. However, there was no way she could let her distress show in front of her children. Thus, she forced a smile on her face. Oh, it's nothing. I was merely lost in my thoughts. I'm not upset. Did I worry you? The children glanced at each other instead of answering her. Nicole shuffled closer to her and softly asked, "Will we never see Mr. Bain again, Mommy?" Victoria froze from shock at the sudden question. What? Her heart skipped with fright when she heard that. She had not expected the children to mention Bain's name. Thinking Victoria had not heard her, Nicole repeated her question. Mommy, will we never see Mr. Bain again? Did Mr. Bain do something bad to Mommy? Victoria was at a loss for words. She looked down at the girl leaning against her. For a moment, she did not have an answer in mind. Nathan was a smarter kid. When he heard Nicole repeat her question, he immediately dragged her away from Victoria. Nicole, let's not pester Mommy about her business, he said. He then moved as if to drag her out of the room. Victoria stopped them. The two of you are my precious babies. You only need to ask if you wish to know about something. There is nothing I won't answer. Nate, I know you're always being considerate of my feelings, but you are a child. You don't have to prioritize my feelings every time, okay? Mommy, all right. She pinched their cheeks and gently continued, I now have an actual answer for the question you asked just now. I do not know if we can ever see Mr. Bain again, but I can tell you that he has fallen sick. Perhaps we'll see him again when he gets better.
Sick?
When will he get better, Mommy? Nicole asked. Alaric swore to look into Bain's situation for Victoria, including Ethan's injuries. His men worked fast. The next morning, she received the latest update on Bain's condition. He was hurt, whereas Ethan had vanished.
Vanished?
Victoria had a bad feeling when she heard that. Back when she was with Bain, Ethan had vanished for a few days and only reappeared when she asked after him. He had been severely injured back then. She knew he was suffering from multiple injuries, but she did not know the details of those injuries. It was not like she could pull his shirt up to check his wounds. Later on, he let her go and even brought her to freedom. He would be met with no mercy from Bain when he returned. I wonder how is he doing now? Bain was also injured. Would that infuriate Bain further? Would he end up venting out his anger on Ethan? We are not in our home country. What if? When that possibility popped up in her mind, she instinctively shot to her feet. Alaric grabbed her hand. Don't panic just yet. His reminder made her pause and bite her lip. He was right. There was no use panicking. What could she even do to help? What do we do now? Her only option was to seek his opinion. Noveldrama.org exclusive content. He pressed his lips together. He helped you, so that means he helped me. Don't worry. I'll rescue him somehow. Terence forced a smile on his face.
Yes, Miss Selwyn.
Don't worry. We'll keep finding a way. She glanced at them before nodding. I'll leave him to you. 2 days had passed, yet there was no news of Ethan. He seemed to have vanished into thin air. Victoria lost her appetite due to her worry. For the past 5 years, Ethan was a constant presence by her side. I've been instructed by Mr. Morrison to drive you home, Miss Selwyn. When do you clock off? Mr. Morrison asked me to bring this to you. Let me know when you're free so that I can deliver it to you, Miss Selwyn. Please leave the items to me. I'm here to help. If you refuse to let me carry anything, Mr. Morrison will admonish me. It's raining today, Miss Selwyn. Remember to bring an umbrella with you. It's also a very cold day. Please put on a few more layers. Her memories of Ethan swam before her eyes, making them go red. While he would always say he was doing it because Bain told him to, he had frankly helped her a lot. The last time they saw each other, the help he provided was the greatest ever. If not for him, she would still be locked away. The sight of her red-rimmed eyes made Torrance nervous. He began to panic. Don't be upset, Miss Sevin. Since he rescued you, he must have been ready for whatever would happen to him. He knew what the consequences would be, so, his voice drifted off. The more he spoke, the worse his words seemed to sound, the air suddenly felt heavy. Alaric was annoyed to see her upset over someone else. The hands hanging down by his sides clenched into fists before eventually relaxing once more. Don't worry. Sometimes, no news is good news. At the very least, it's not bad news, right? Alaric said. Mr. Cadogan is right, Terence promptly agreed. No news is actually the best news. Don't worry. We'll keep up the search and rescue him the moment we find him. We'll do our very best. Despite their fervent attempts to reassure her, her mood did not improve at all. She continued to lean against the window to blankly stare out into the distance. She just did not get it. How did everything change so drastically? Everyone had been going about their days as usual. The situation was now worse than hell. What is it, Mommy? Her children's voices pulled her mind back to the room. She turned around to find the kids staring at her with worried eyes.
Nate.
Nikki. The two of them immediately darted over to cling to her sides. You've been very sad lately, Mommy.
Yes.
I am free now. Why am I still so upset? Well, it's likely because I do not have any closure yet. However, there was no way she could let her distress show in front of her children. Thus, she forced a smile on her face. Oh, it's nothing. I was merely lost in my thoughts. I'm not upset. Did I worry you? The children glanced at each other instead of answering her. Nicole shuffled closer to her and softly asked, "Will we never see Mr. Bain again, Mommy?" Victoria froze from shock at the sudden question. What? Her heart skipped with fright when she heard that. She had not expected the children to mention Bain's name. Thinking Victoria had not heard her, Nicole repeated her question. Mommy, will we never see Mr. Bain again? Did Mr. Bain do something bad to Mommy? Victoria was at a loss for words. She looked down at the girl leaning against her. For a moment, she did not have an answer in mind. Nathan was a smarter kid. When he heard Nicole repeat her question, he immediately dragged her away from Victoria. Nicole, let's not pester Mommy about her business, he said. He then moved as if to drag her out of the room. Victoria stopped them. The two of you are my precious babies. You only need to ask if you wish to know about something. There is nothing I won't answer. Nate, I know you're always being considerate of my feelings, but you are a child. You don't have to prioritize my feelings every time, okay? Mommy, all right. She pinched their cheeks and gently continued, I now have an actual answer for the question you asked just now. I do not know if we can ever see Mr. Bain again, but I can tell you that he has fallen sick. Perhaps we'll see him again when he gets better. Sick. When will he get better, Mommy? Nicole asked. Her innocent question was another difficult question for Victoria to answer. I'm not too sure, but I know he will get better, she eventually said. One had to have hope, right? She personally wanted Bain to get better soon. That way, life would be normal once more. Her innocent question was another difficult question for Victoria to answer. I'm not too sure, but I know he will get better, she eventually said. One had to have hope, right? She personally wanted Bain to get better soon. That way, life would be normal once more. Chapter 428. After Victoria's explanation, Nathan and Nicole now believed that Bain was sick. Still, he would get better. When that happened, he would still be their Mr. Bain. Their newfound knowledge clearly cheered them up. Just then, Alaric walked into the room. The children swiftly moved over to pester him. Of course, their name for him had not changed due to the time spent together. To them, he was still Mr. Knight. Nathan was still understandably restrained, but Nicole had no restraint at all. She immediately held her arms out in a demand to be carried. Alaric did not think much of it. He promptly kneeled down before her. Seeing that, Victoria hurried over. Nicole, he's still hurt, she said. That made Nicole freeze in place. She dazedly stared at Alaric before shrinking back, pulling away from him. She even took a few steps back just to make sure he did not touch her. Her reaction stunned Alaric. After a few moments of staring at her, he helplessly chuckled. It's only a minor wound. She's just a little kid. How would she hurt me any more than I already am? Victoria disagreed with him as she sternly declared, "No way. Nicole is a playful kid who loves to fidget." While Nicole was not a heavy child, she still weighed something. Moreover, she loved to move around and fidget. What if she accidentally kicked his wound? His injuries were so serious. Although they had healed nicely over the last few days, it would still be very painful if the wounds were reopened. Victoria's explanation had Nicole maturely holding back from demanding to be carried by Alaric. When he continued to insist that he was fine, she kindly spoke up. Mr. Knight, I think it's better to wait until you're all healed up. There was an obvious look of helplessness on his face as he remained on his knees. Very well. I'll carry you in a few days. They were his children, so he wanted to spend more time with them. While they still called him Mr. Knight and might not even know that they were his kids, Nicole had been rather friendly to him. That was not the case with Nathan. At that thought, Alaric turned to look at Nathan. This boy had more thoughts lurking in his mind than Alaric had expected. Just when would Nathan finally open his heart to Alaric? Had he ever done so with Bane? Alaric decided to have a proper chat with Nathan when he had the chance. The moment he thought that, Nicole suddenly demanded Victoria go with her to check out the new clothes the servants had prepared for her the night before. As Nicole was a girl, Nathan did not follow her as she led Victoria to her room. Now, the only ones left in the room were Alaric and Nathan. The chance had arrived. Alaric gestured for him to come closer. Nate. Nathan was familiar with Alaric now. The wariness from before had slowly faded away until they could act naturally around each other. Otherwise, he would have left the room with Nicole and Victoria. Thus, Nathan approached Alaric and obediently greeted, "Mr. Knight." Alaric patted the seat beside him, telling him to sit. Nathan did not reject the suggestion and immediately sat next to Alaric. He might be a young boy, but he was a smart kid. He could sense that Alaric had belongs to, oval/drama.org. Something to say to him. "Nate," Alaric said. He looked down at Nathan. His voice was calm and relaxed as though they were only engaging in small talk. "Can I ask you something?" Nathan nodded and asked back, "What would you like to ask? Do you think I am worthy of being your and Nicole's father?" The question was if Alaric was worthy, not if Nathan was willing to accept him as a father. Nathan was a very knowledgeable child despite his age. Hence, he swiftly understood what Nathan meant by that. It took him a while before he finally responded, "Th, that depends on mommy. I am asking about you. Putting your mother's opinion aside, what do you really think? Do you think I am good enough?" Nathan silently stared back. "Don't be scared," Alaric said, placing a hand on Nathan's shoulder. His voice was unusually warm and sweet. "Just tell me the truth." What Nathan wanted to say would absolutely be offensive to Alaric. Yes, Alaric had done a lot for them and even watched the children's streams. The name Silent Knight held a lot of influence over the kids. If a stranger had admitted to being their biological father but was not Silent Knight, would they have accepted that man into their lives so soon? They would not, since the man would feel very distant from them. The psychological distance was a very vital part of any relationship. Getting used to something was also a life-changing matter for most people. For example, Nathan and Nicole were used to having a man named Silent Knight who would watch every single one of their streams, rain or shine. He would always shower them with donations and gifts. They had grown used to that life and the presence of that name in their lives. Hence, the moment Alaric appeared and made himself known as Silent Knight, he had carved for himself an irreplaceable spot in the children's hearts. However, that was exactly why. Nathan shook his head. "If I have to tell the truth, then it's a no." Alaric had expected that answer. As he had expected Nathan's answer, he did not feel disappointed or anything negative. With a calm look on his face, he gazed down at Nathan. "Can you tell me what I need to do to change that?" Nathan's eyes darted up to look at him before looking away. He shook his head. "I don't know."
"You don't know?"
"Yes." Nathan nodded. "Mr. Knight, I think that when you are good enough, mommy will absolutely accept you into the family." His response stunned Alaric. Why did he not think of that? The moment he was worthy of being their father, Victoria would naturally ask the children to accept him. "That means you are still keeping your mother's opinions in mind, right?" In the end, they were back to the same point. "Mommy is the only family member Nicole and I have. Of course, we care what she thinks." That was also true. Victoria raised them by herself. It was natural for them to only care about her opinions.
Hmm, he hummed in response.
Alaric was unwilling to give up just yet.
What do you think then?
What if you compare me to
Mr. Bane?
Despite being only 5 years old, Nathan finally realized what was going on. This was the actual question Alaric had wanted to ask. Back when he was in school, he once witnessed two men get jealous over a female teacher they liked. They would constantly compare themselves against each other. Finally, they would fight each other with their fists.
Mr. Knight wants to get together with Mommy, and so does Mr. Bane.
Thus, they are rivals in love. It is normal for rivals to compare themselves against each other, right?
Chapter 429. If I told Mr. Knight I prefer Mr. Bane over him, would he?
While thinking of that, Nathan replied frankly, Mr. Bane has been with us for longer.
At that, Alaric felt his breath hitch.
So dash but you frequently watch our live streams and always send us rewards.
The last sentence made Alaric, who had just calmed down, become nervous again.
He thought he was already out of the game when Nathan first spoke but did not expect Nathan to change tones again. It was agonizing for him.
So,
Alaric was a nervous wreck when he asked that question. He would never have guessed he cared so much about a kid's thoughts, afraid the kid would choose someone other than him.
So, Nathan deliberately dragged his words because he was intrigued when he saw Alaric's breath hitching.
Then, he tilted his head and continued, "So it's a tie between you and Mr. Bane."
A tie?
Alaric was stunned.
How could it be a tie?
Mr. Knight, do you think you will lose to Mr. Bane?
Alaric pursed his lips and said nothing because that was indeed his thoughts.
After all, he had not been a part of their lives for several years. Companionship was the key to lasting emotions and the most heartwarming thing to a family. After thinking about it, he smiled slightly as he patted Nathan's head, gently cooing, "I'm very happy to hear that." Once he finished, Nicole had already finished changing and returned with Victoria. Therefore, the conversation between the two males ended. A tie was already a very satisfactory answer for Alaric at the moment because it meant he would soon overtake Bane's position in the two children's hearts. He was suddenly grateful for his decision to keep watching the children's live stream. That afternoon, Victoria received news that her passport and other documents were ready, which meant she could buy flight tickets and prepare to return home. However, there was still no news of Ethan, and Bane was also injured. She was reluctant to leave those matters hanging and return home. Noticing her internal conflict, Alaric assured her, "You return home first while I stay here to deal with those matters. The children have to go to school. You're going to stay here."
Victoria frowned.
"Why are you staying here? Aren't your matters almost settled? Promised you I would help you save Mr. Hudson, so I will keep my promise." At first, Victoria was already feeling somewhat guilty when she saw Alaric helping her deal with her matters while still injured, but now that he mentioned he was going to stay for longer, she felt even more uneasy.
"Come on. I'll buy you tickets for tonight. Terence will be returning with you, and he'll be personally protecting you before I return. Also, don't stay in your previous home anymore. Move into my home. Terence will arrange for bodyguards to protect your safety 24/7. Although he would not be returning home with them, he had already arranged for everything. Meanwhile, Victoria listened to his every piece of advice, and the more she listened, the more distraught she felt. She couldn't help but bite her lips and ask, "Can't you leave the matters here to someone else? What if that someone can't deliver? If it hadn't been for that guy, I might need to exert even more effort to find you." Even though he would find her eventually, who could guarantee what might really happen before it happened?
"All right." Seeing her biting her lips, Alaric hugged her frail body.
"Stop thinking about it. Since I've decided to stay behind, it means I have confidence that I will succeed.
But, you shouldn't be doing these things in the first place.
Snowball. Alaric coaxed her, no one should or should not do something. It's always whether they are willing to do it. If you feel sorry that I have to stay behind, why don't you consider giving me a proper identity after I return? Victoria immediately understood that he was referring to how the children addressed him. He wanted the children to call him Daddy instead of Mr. Knight. Does it mean he did all this just to realize that tiny wish? When she thought of that, she was surprised. Aren't you going to tell them? However, Alaric smiled and did not answer her question. Instead, he coaxed, I won't be seeing them later, and if they want to see me, they will have to wait until next time. When we do see each other again, I hope you've decided to give me preferential treatment, and they won't call me Mr. Knight anymore. As for what they would be addressing him, he thought he had made his intentions very clear. Go on. Before Victoria could contemplate further, Alaric ushered her back to her room to pack her things. Afterward, Alaric left. Perhaps the thought of separating made him feel sad, so he did not stay with her. She was alone in the large room. While looking around the empty space and thinking about how he would be staying here to continue the search for Ethan, she gradually felt lonely and desolate. When the two children found out they were about to return home, they cheered excitedly and even started discussing visiting Fiona once they returned and how much they missed school. Since the plane was due to depart at 9:00 p.m., they had 4 hours left. Therefore, they had dinner together as usual, but when Victoria and the children came downstairs, they did not see Alaric anywhere. They were the only ones there. Victoria couldn't help but ask, "Where is he?" Terence replied respectfully, "Mr. Cadogan went out to deal with some matters, and he asked that you eat without him." "He went out? And it just has to be at this moment? The children and I are leaving tonight, yet he pretends he's fine this afternoon." Victoria felt it was fine if he did not return with them, but skipping dinner with them made her feel at a loss. The innocent Nicole could not help but ask after hearing that, "Why did he leave, Mr. Levan? What is Mr. Knight up to? Doesn't he need to eat?" When faced with the child's innocent question, Terence did not know how to lie, so he looked away and pretended not to know anything. "I'm not sure about that. He did not tell me anything when he left." Victoria looked at him and watched as he touched his nose after explaining, seeming very guilty. It seemed like he was not a good liar. After secretly sighing, Victoria ignored Terence and continued eating. Since he did not want to be with them before they left, why would she force him to do so? Like what Victoria expected, Alaric was still a no-show even when they were almost done with their meal, and the food had gone cold. Also, there was only 1 hour left before they had to leave for the airport. After Victoria led the children upstairs and into their room, Nicole asked, "Mommy, where's Mr. Knight? When will he be returning?" But when Victoria answered the question, she mimicked Terence and said, "Like Mr. Levan, I have no idea. He didn't tell me where he was going and what he would be doing either, so I would not know when he would return." Hearing that, Nicole let out a gentle oh while frowning, seeming frustrated. Then would Mr. Knight not show up at the airport either? Does that mean we will not see Mr. Knight at all today? Not wanting to give the children too much hope, Victoria said, "Yes. There's a possibility that it will happen. Mr. Knight is a busy man, and once he's done with his work, he'll visit us at home." If she put it that way, the children would not be hoping to see Alaric before they board the plane and would be looking forward to returning home instead. That way, they would not feel disappointed. Indeed, Nicole was convinced and did not ask about it again. An hour later, Terence knocked on the door. "Miss Selwyn, it's time to leave for the airport." They had to leave early because they were far from the airport and there might be heavy traffic on the way, so Victoria immediately responded after hearing Terence's voice. "We're coming." After that, she grabbed her suitcase and beckoned the children. "Let's go." The children towed their mini suitcases and followed behind her. Once the door opened, Terence came forward to help Victoria with her luggage before helping the children with theirs. It was not something special, but Victoria immediately associated the scene with the times Ethan helped her. During those times, Ethan would help her and her children with their luggage whenever he was around. It had been several days, yet she knew nothing about his situation. She did not expect to leave without any news of him and hoped he was doing well. At least, she hoped he was still alive. After taking their suitcases, Terence suggested to the children, "Do you want a ride on?" Chapter 430. The suitcase? I can push you around. Children usually loved that, so the two immediately let Terence help them onto the suitcase and let Terence push them around. Terence had to push the suitcase with the children on top and grab another suitcase with his empty hand, so Victoria was left with one suitcase. It was Nathan's mini suitcase, so it was not heavy. Victoria easily towed it behind her while slowly following behind the others. Since she was walking fairly slowly, she gradually fell behind the others. Seeing that she was growing further away from them, she wanted to speed up her pace when a door in the hallway suddenly opened, and a long arm grabbed her shoulder. She was pulled inside the room before she could realize what was happening. At that instant, she felt her heart skip a beat, thinking that it was someone Bane had sent to capture her and bring her back. She unconsciously tried to scream, but that person seemed to have sensed what she was about to do and covered her mouth before she could. Victoria's scream instantly turned into a groan. The lights were not on, so the room was in complete darkness. Also, the door was closed right after she was pulled inside, so she could only make out a tall figure with the faint light coming in from the window. Victoria could not determine who it was, and her hands and feet were restrained, rendering her unable to move until that man relaxed his grip on her mouth. Then, Victoria seized the chance to scream, but the man before her was quicker and leaned in to kiss her. His rough, warm breath fell onto her cheeks, and she finally recognized the smell of his breath. It was. This text is property of no/felt/rama.org. Shock flashed across her face, and before she could react, she felt her lips being pried open to deepen the kiss. While they were kissing, they could smell each other with every breath, and Victoria even noticed a strong nicotine smell. Was Alaric smoking? I thought he didn't smoke. Why did he suddenly start smoking? Feeling a sharp pain on her lips, she regained her senses and heard the man pinning her to the door complain, "Were you distracted just now? Don't tell me you were thinking about him. Who is he talking about?" Victoria was confused for a while and finally understood which him the man was referring to when she felt his thin lips touching hers again. However, she realized too late and had no chance to answer his question. Therefore, the kiss became harsher and more arrogant as he tried to take over her mouth. In the end, Victoria's neck was raised high, and she was almost forced to accept Alaric's kiss. Feeling suffocated, she unconsciously groaned, reaching up to push his chest. But the man before her seemed to feel like this was not enough and grabbed her wrist while she pushed him. Then, he pulled her hand behind him, making her hug his waist. After she was forced to hug his waist, they continued to kiss, and the temperature in the room gradually increased. Once they finished, Victoria felt like her eardrums were filled with water, and her mind was dizzy as she felt exhausted, needing to lean against Alaric to stabilize herself. Meanwhile, Alaric was currently gently panting into her ear. His breath sounded more labored than the last, causing her to blush. It was just a kiss, but why was he panting like something else had happened? At that thought, Victoria gently bit her lips and pushed him, asking, "Didn't you leave for work and decide not to return? Didn't you decide not to see me again? What is the meaning of this?" It would have been fine if Victoria did not speak, but when she did, she discovered her voice sounded gentle as water with a hint of delicateness. Once she was done speaking, she subconsciously pursed her lips, not daring to speak. The man beside her did not respond and continued panting. It took him a while before speaking up in his raspy voice. "I was afraid I won't let you leave if I see you off." After saying that, he tightened his arms around her and dug his face into the crook of her neck, greedily breathing in her scent. Just like this. When Victoria heard that, she felt her heart skip a beat as her hand slowly crept up his body. She took the initiative to lean into his arms. "Did he refuse to see me because he was reluctant to let me leave? Was it the same situation with the two children as well?"